We began this series several weeks ago talking about signs in the heavens. I shared that with you a little bit before we got started this morning. And particularly, we're talking about the things that God does using the cosmos, the sun, the moon, the stars. It was important that we understood the difference between acknowledging the fact that these things are created by God and so he can use them, and the perversion of that, which is astrology and those types of things where people are looking to the stars for guidance and for wisdom in their lives. Let me tell you something. If you pull out the paper and you want to read your horoscope, let me encourage you, stop that. You say, Pastor Dave, that's harmless. Come on. It's a gateway from which the enemy can begin to come into your mind, into your heart. Do not allow him access in any way. And those are some of the subtle ways that Satan does this. We've said this before. Satan's probably not going to come up and try to get you to do something gross and horrible. You're smarter than that. You know that. Kill this person. No, I'm not going to do that. I know I'm not supposed to. But he may get you to do something that is not so bad. But if you do enough of those things, they become what we had talked about is deception. Deception, again, is not something overt. Deception is something that has some measure of truth to it. But it's twisted. It's perverted. And that's the way that Satan is infiltrating into our churches today. He's not sending in witch doctors. He's not sending in people that are going to talk about worshiping Satan. Churches won't allow that to come in. But a church will allow somebody to come in that talks about the things of God, but if it's twisted and perverted in any way, it takes us off of where we should be. That's why the Bible talks about discernment being so important. We have got to be able to discern the things that are of God and of not of God. Does that make sense? And that's not just in church. It's all of our lives. It's everywhere that we are. And so that was all a part of the introduction of what we were talking about, leading up to some of these things we're going to look at today. Now in Genesis 1:14, this is the first verse that we came to with this. And if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to the book of Joel. I want to see if you're listening. Not Genesis. Everybody knows where Genesis is. But I'm going to give you some time to find Joel. That one's not so easy. That's one of the minor prophets, so it's toward the back of the Old Testament. How many of you are taking Bible classes? You guys taking Bible courses? You got to know how the Bible works. You know, major prophets, minor prophets, the Pentateuch, the books of wisdom, the books of poetry, all that kind of stuff. See me. I'll help you with that. No, I won't. I'll tell you something really weird. Genesis 1:14 says this. It says, "And God said, let there be lights in the vault of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark sacred times and days and years." This is all a part of the creation account in the book of Genesis. Two things I want us to see in this verse as we begin to consider and look at what it is that God's doing right now. The first is the word signs. Now, in the original language, that word is oath. That's how that's pronounced, oath. That word can be translated into the words signals as well as signs. Now, we know what signals are. Later today, the Philadelphia Eagles are hopefully going to play two halves of football instead of just one like they did last week. All you Falcon fans here. But in the football game, you see a lot of signals. You got guys on the sideline doing all kinds of stuff. You got the quarterback calling out the signals. If you're driving your car and you come to a railroad crossing and the lights are flashing and the gate's down, that's a signal that something's about to take place. In the football game, those signals tell people what it is that they're going to be doing and what's about to happen. Well, God also gives us signals. He also gives us signs. And he uses the things of the creation that he's done. That's what Genesis 1:14 is telling us, that those signals are things we need to be aware of. Another way to look at this is in 1860, a man by the name of Henry Wadsworth Longfellow wrote an account called The Midnight Ride of Paul Revere. Now, that wasn't terribly accurate historically, but that's never allowed anybody that writes to get into the way of that. History and facts are not always something they're concerned about. The fact is there were several men that rode that night. It wasn't just Paul. Everybody thinks Paul was the only guy doing this. There were several of them. He was one. And what they had done is that they had established a set of signals. And of course, the most famous thing that people know from this account is what? One if by land, finish it. Two if by sea. Everybody knows that. That was a signal that they had stated that they were going to put these lights in the Old North Church in Boston. And that what that meant was is that when they saw that signal, the riders would go and they would tell the militiamen, according to the signal, the British are coming either by land or by sea, to allow them to get prepared. And that, of course, led to the first battle of Lexington and Concord, which was the beginning of the American Revolution. See, there's all kinds of stuff you learn here. When you guys are watching Jeopardy this next week, you're going to kill it. I promise. You're going to be incredible. But the reason that's important is because there were signs and signals that they were using. God started that. God was the first one. And so my question for us this morning is, what signs and signals are we talking about today? So, did you find Joel? You got that? Page 734 is where that is in my Bible. Now, if you don't have your Bible, bring a Bible. All right, bring a Bible. You're going to get sick of me saying this because I know you guys are all looking and going, dude, you got a screen right there. Put the words up. No, because if I do that, you don't bring your Bible. Bring your Bible. All right. I've said that a couple of times, haven't I? All right, Joel, the second chapter. Let's look at this. There are three scriptures I want us to look at because they all say the same thing. Joel 2. And starting in, let's start up in verse 30. It says, I will cause wonders in the heavens and on the earth. Now, this is, Joel is a prophet, so he is speaking from God, is what he's doing. He said, I will cause wonders in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and columns of smoke. The sun will become dark and the moon will turn blood red before that great and terrible day of the Lord arrives. But everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, for someone Mount Zion and Jerusalem will escape, just as the Lord has said. These will be among the survivors whom the Lord has called. Flip over to the New Testament. Go to the book of Acts. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Fifth book of the New Testament. Second chapter. Starting the 17th verse. The author of Acts is quoting the scripture that we just read. And he says, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will see visions. And your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. In those days, I will pour out my spirit even on my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy. And I will cause wonders in the heavens above, signs on the earth below, blood, the fire, clouds of smoke, the sun will become dark, the moon will turn blood red before the great and glorious day of the Lord arrives, but everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. One more. Turn to the last book, the book of Revelation. The sixth chapter. Just one verse. The 12th. Revelation 6:12. John says, I watched as the Lamb broke the sixth seal, and there was a great earthquake. The sun became as dark as black cloth, and the moon became as red as blood. What are these things talking about? What is it when the sun is supposed to get black and the moon is supposed to turn red? What is it that they're speaking of? They're speaking of a phenomenon called an eclipse. That's the physical representation of what it is that it's talking about. And since the very beginning of time, man has been fascinated by eclipses. Eclipsi? Eclipses. What's the plural of eclipse? Eclipses? You should know this. Come on, you're in college. All right. Look that up. That's your assignment for next week. All right, come back with that. But man has been fascinated. Now, in the early days, in the days before we understood why and how it took place, man would assign some reason for this to have happened. And normally what they did is they said it was some type of angelic or demonic or spiritual force that was causing the sun to go away or the moon to go away. Usually they said it meant some type of an omen, like a good omen or a bad omen. And that was the thinking before we understood physically how things took place. Go back to the time when the disciples are on the water in Galilee, on the Galilean Sea, on the Sea of Galilee. What happened when Jesus walked across the water? What was the first response that the disciples had? They didn't say, yo, Jesus, over here. What'd they say? It's a ghost. Why? Because when the storms grew in those days, the disciples believed it was because of evil spirits. They didn't understand things about high pressure, low pressure, winds, position, topography, and all those kinds of things. They didn't get that. So they would make something that would hopefully explain what it is that was taking place. World eclipses were the same way. Now, the definition of an eclipse is this. This is what it means to eclipse. It means a falling into decline. That's what that means. And so when you talk about the sun or the moon, you're talking about their light coming into decline. It's not as bright. Obviously, the sun is not as bright as it normally would be, and the moon is darker, and it changes color. That's what the word eclipse means. We use that with terminology even today. Pretty soon we're coming up to a presidential election. And at some point, somebody's going to say, well, this new administration has almost eclipsed what it was the past one did. What does that mean? It means they took the things they did and they showed them in decline because of what they were doing. And so eclipses have been happening since the very beginning of time. And God is using these in order to give us signals of what it is that's going to be taking place according to his scripture. Now, we know what this is. You know how an eclipse works. A lunar eclipse is when the earth comes between the sun and the moon, and it blocks out the light that the moon would normally reflect. And so we see the moon as becoming darker because there's not enough of the sunlight to get to it. And the reason that the moon turns red is because the color spectrum of light is blocked, just as the brightness is, except for the red. The red is able to filter its way through our atmosphere and turns the moon a red color. It's the same reason why we have red sunsets, because the sun is blocking away, but the red light still comes through, and when it's clear, you've got all that beautiful color that comes through. That's what it is that's turning the moon red. It's called a blood moon. A solar eclipse is the same principle, except the earth and the moon are in reverse positions. So the sun, the moon, comes in between us and the sun, and it blocks out its light, or it diminishes it. You know those things. The orbit of the earth and the moon and the sun, we usually have about 2 eclipses a year. We can have as many as 5. Doesn't happen often. And these eclipses are usually either in some partial form, or you hit the jackpot, you get a total eclipse. That's cool. Do not go out and look at a total solar eclipse. If you heard this since like you were like 2 years old, you know, you want to go out and look at it, your mom and dad are going, don't, you're going to be blinded. And you go, I don't understand, I'm going to look anyway, just to see if it works. But you have to, didn't you like cut a pinhole in a box or something bizarre like that? Who came up with that? That makes no sense to me whatsoever. Have you heard this or not? You ever heard that? You're supposed to put like a little pinhole in this piece of cardboard and then you hold it so that it I can't even do it. I hurt my back the last time I tried this. I don't understand. But you're not supposed to look directly at it. The moon's a different story because it's reflected light. You can always go out and watch a lunar eclipse, and it's fascinating to do that. So what? So what? What does this matter? Okay, thanks for the astrology lesson, or the astronomy lesson. We appreciate it. Like I said, next time that I'm on Jeopardy, Alex, I'll take lunar events for 400, and you can answer the question before anybody else does. There are some terms that you've been hearing recently. One of those is the word tetrad. How many of you have heard that term? You've heard that spoken about the moons and things that are taking place. A tetrad is an event that takes place over the course of 2 calendar years, where there are 4 complete total eclipses of the moon in that time period. And scientists call them the blood moons because, again, of the red hue. It's an unusual phenomena for this to take place. It doesn't happen all of that often. But there are 4 of them called the tetrads that take place, and we are in the midst of one right now. As a matter of fact, there are 3 that have already taken place. There was one in April and October of last year, April 4th of this year, and a week from tomorrow, September the 28th, will be the 4th blood moon. It's fascinating. I got to see the one that just the April, the one. I know where I was driving someplace. I was trying, I don't know what I was doing, but I was stopped on a highway, Ed, and I got out and talked to the trucker behind me. And so I stood there, and then we're looking around and just kind of waiting for the traffic to move. I don't know why you walk on the highway when you're not moving, but we're walking on the highway. And I looked around, and there was the blood moon. And I said to the guy, I said, man, I said, look at that. I said, it's a blood moon. And he went, what? And so I got to explain it to him. And I didn't go into the whole theological thing, but I told him, I said, listen, man, this is pretty unique and pretty interesting. But the fourth of the tetrads, tetra meaning four, is going to be taking place a week from this Monday. This also, this coming Monday, there are the 2 weeks, is going to be also unique because it's going to be a supermoon. You familiar with that term? There's an elliptical orbit that the Earth has with the moon, and when the moon is at its closest point to us and it's full, it's called a supermoon. 14% larger, 30 times brighter than normal. Make some time to see this on next Monday. All right? It's important. It's because more than just how neat it's going to look. The second most important word, though, in that verse from Genesis that we read is the word times. That word times, the original word, is mued. And that word means festivals or feasts. And so what God is saying in Genesis is, listen, he says, I'm going to create all of this. And they're not just to be pretty. They're just not for you to look at. I'm going to use them in order to teach you some things, to show you some things. And the greatest thing that God is showing us right now is that his son Jesus is coming back soon. Soon. Now again, this isn't about trying to figure out the day and the time. The Bible says, don't need to worry about that. But what it does say is that we as Christians need to be vigilant. We need to be watching. And more than all of that, we have got to be sharing with people that do not know Jesus how important it is that they have that relationship with him. The time is coming to an end. Jesus is going to return. The church is going to be taken up. And then the time of tribulation is going to come. You don't want to be a part of that. You don't want to lose folks that you love. You say, but they're good people. That doesn't make you a Christian. They go to church. That doesn't make you a Christian. They give money. They pray. They even read their Bible. That does not make you a Christian. There's only one thing that brings you into relationship with him, and that is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, where I admit that I'm a sinner. I tell him, Lord, I need you. Please forgive me. And then I turn from the things that I was doing, and I live a life that glorifies him. That's the only way you have relationship with him. But he's showing us things right now that are taking place. And what he's showing us is the time is short. The tetrad that we're walking in right now is important for one other reason, and it's what sets it apart from all the others. Since they have been doing this calculations and all of these things, they have figured that since about 2000 BC, and I have no idea how they figure these things out, but I trust them because it was NASA, and I pretty much believe whatever it is NASA tells me. But they figured from about 2000 BC up to now, there have been approximately 102 tetrads, meaning the four full moons that are consecutive within two-year time. Since Jesus was crucified, there have been 72 of them in the last 2,000 years. There have been seven that have come under one particular element, and that's this. The four full moons all fall on Jewish holy days, feast days. All four. They fall on exactly the time that the Jews are celebrating one of the seven feasts that God gave them. I want to tell you what those feasts are in a minute. By the way, I'm not getting done with this today. So if you're getting nervous and going, I have to get going here soon, and you're just like in the middle of this, we're going to finish this next week. All right, don't get nervous. I got my watch. I'm sitting, it's right here. See, I got my watch right there. The tetrads are important because it's the work of God. It's his hand. It's amazing. It's incredible to look at it, to think about throughout all of history, the things that are taking place. But God uses his creation. And these four blood moons that fall on a Jewish feast day have become all exceptionally important historical events that have taken place over the last couple of thousand years. Significant things have taken place, life-changing, world-changing, and they've all revolved around three groups of people, the Israelites, the Arab Islamics, and the Romans, those three groups. Every one of those events in those seven tetrads that took place, symbols, signs from God, have revolved around the Israelites, the Arabs, and the Romans. Who are those three groups of people? Well, the Israelites are God's chosen people. Those are his people, coming from the root of Isaac, the son of Jacob, the grandson of Abraham. But who was Isaac's half-brother? We talked about this the other day. Who was it? Ishmael. Was that? I'm sorry. Yeah, Isaac. Okay, Isaac, Abraham, Jacob. I got that in there. Isaac and his half-brother was a man by the name of Ishmael. Who was Ishmael the father of? They've traced this back, lineage. Who's he the father of? The Arab nations. And so when we look at the children of Israel, God's chosen, the children of the Arab nations, Ishmael's descendants, we look at two groups of people that the Bible tells us will always be in contention with one another. And we've seen the peace accords that have been signed over the years. Remember the one, there was the one with Jimmy Carter, and he's standing there, and they're shaking hands. Remember that? Camp David Accord. Then there's the one with Bill Clinton, and he's standing there like he's the savior of the world. And he's got the two groups there. I think that is how he saw himself. All of these accords, all of these peace treaties that have been signed between these two nations have never lasted. Why? Because the Word of God says they can't. They're going to be in contention with one another. And then that third group, the Romans, were the ones that God used, especially in the time of Jesus, to oppress the children of Israel. The ones that forced them to have to turn towards God. All three of those groups have been centrally involved in these events that have taken place around the Tetrads. Once again, now you're sitting here going, so what? You haven't told me why this is important to us. Why does this matter? Because each and every one of these things are foretold by the Scripture, and they are all pointing towards the point of Jesus coming again. And it's important, I think, for us as a church to understand these things. Number one, so that we can pray. Prayer is the most important thing that we can do with all of these things. Asking God, God, how do you want me to live in these times? How is it, God, that I can minister to other people? Because there are going to be a lot of people that are going to be afraid. Did you notice in all three of these that I read what it said? Those that call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. You know why that's there? So you're not afraid. Don't be afraid during these times. You say, Pastor Dave, didn't our country just sign this accord with Iran that we're going to let them do like nuclear stuff and all that? Yeah, we did. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Aren't there wars and there's rumors of wars and all kinds of people fighting with each other constantly? There's bombs blowing up everywhere, the terrorist, ISIS, all of these things. Yeah, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. God knows what he's doing. God has had all of this planned. It's shared with us in the Word so that we can see these things coming and then be able to say to someone else, listen, don't be afraid. Let me tell you why. Let me tell you why this is happening and what it means. Don't be afraid. And if they say, I can't help but be afraid, you can say, I've got an answer for you. I know where you can turn. But you don't have to be afraid because of God's love. I'm going to stop here. Next week when we come back, I want to tell you what those seven feasts are and why they're important. All of these tetrads, these seven tetrads that have been so important throughout all of history, have taken place because they have fallen on the days of the Jewish feasts. Now, those feasts were not just parties that they all just decided, hey, let's get together and, you know, throw back some goat's milk. I don't know if they drank goat's milk in that time or not. I don't know if that was. That wasn't something they just decided to. You know where those feasts came from? From God on Mount Sinai given to Moses. Read Leviticus 23 if you want to have a heads up on that before you come back next week. Leviticus 23, it talks about the feasts of God. Each and every one of those are critically important to the relationship of the Israelites with God. But even more than that, they are a way that they have kept their minds and their hearts on him, thanking him for what they've done for him. That's something our country is sorely lacking. We think we're our own supplier. Everything we do, it's because of us. I'm the strength. We're the ones that take care of this. And we have completely removed ourselves from being dependent on God. The Feast of Israel kept the people's eyes and their minds focused on the things of God. He uses those. And he's going to be using them. We're in the midst of it right now. It's an exciting time to be a Christian. It's exciting. It is a time you need to have faith. You need to continue to pray. You need to be wise about the things you're doing. This is why I'm always encouraging folks here at Remnant Life, don't allow the enemy to come into your life in any way, shape, or form. Stand firm for righteousness in the things that you do. Amen. So we'll come back next week and we will talk more about these things. I want to tell you about the feasts, and then I want to tell you about those seven tetrads and the events that took place through history, and I want you to see how God used each and every one of them to demonstrate who he is. And then we can begin to think about what's going to happen now. I don't know. Maybe it already took place. But I can tell you this, God's in control. God knows what's going on. Amen. Well, Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time together. I thank you, Father, that we can come and we can learn from your word. Father, I thank you that you are relevant to our lives. There are so many people that say the Bible has nothing to say. Father, it's like the front page of the newspaper. God, you are present in everything that's going on. And in this, Lord, we have faith. We have hope. We have an assurance that says that you love us. And Father, as we continue to look at these things, as we examine the feasts next week, just briefly, the feasts that have been held since the very beginning of your people being released from the Egyptians, Father, may it have significance and meaning to us. Lord, there might be some people thinking, I'm not Jewish. What does that have to do with me? Because we are a part of your family. The Bible tells us that when we accept you, we are grafted in to the root. And so, Father, those things are important to us. They are significant. And then, Lord, as we examine these historical events that have taken place around the time of these moons, around the time of the feasts, may we, Father, allow our hearts and our minds to be open to the fact that you are a great and an awesome God. You have everything in the palm of your hand, and everything that you say is true. We look for that. We anticipate your coming. And until that time, Lord, may be we those that are filled with faith, and may we be willing to share that faith everywhere we go, first by the way that we act, by the way that we respond in circumstances, and then, God, when you give us the opportunity, by the words that we say in order to lead someone to you, all to your glory and all to your honor. I pray blessing over each and every person here. I pray that you would go with them, keep them safe until we come again. And in that time, Lord, may we be anticipating all that you have in store for us, because you are a great and an awesome God. It's in Jesus' precious name that I pray these things. Say it with me. Amen.